Citizens of Hawkins, if you're not an actual citizen of Hawkins, just say you are so you could take a trip with us into the Upside Down. What's going on, demo dudes and demo dudettes? Welcome back into the Upside Down, the podcast that talks all things Stranger Things. I'm your co-host, Demo Dude Damien. And with me, as always, is the guy that took a tip from Vecna not to buy any real estate property until after he opened all of the gates so he can maximize his profits, the great Scott.
Ahoy! That is very sound advice. I like to be fiscally responsible, so thank you, Vecna. I will follow your lead. We'll get some cheap real estate. Buy low and sell high, baby. It's time.
It's time. Interest rates are an all-time low.
The town is destroyed. You could possibly get a good deal.
I want you to put $20,000 in escrow. Oh my God, guys. Happy, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Valentine's Day, and almost Happy St. Patrick's Day. It has been a long time since we've done a recording, and hope everybody's doing well out there. We're doing pretty good. We've been pretty busy, especially Demo Dude Scott, as he has welcomed a Demo Dudette into the world. Him and his wife had a daughter, a baby, a Demo Dudette, Willow. And that obviously, if you're a parent out there, you understand how much time that takes away from everything and how exhausted you are and how it feels like it's going to be that way for a long time, but eventually you get there. But it's still one of the best things in life and one of the biggest joys in life. So just want to start by saying congratulations to you, Scott, and Katie as well, because it's awesome. Always cool to welcome a new fan into the Stranger Things family.
Thanks so much, man. It's been a crazy couple of months here. We welcome little Demo Dudette Willow in the middle of January. So it's awesome to be now a hashtag girl dad, just like yourself. So I'm glad I joined the club. Yeah, just like Hopper.
Although there's no hashtags in the 80s yet. Well, they were, but they're pound signs.
Like pound sign girl dad? But yeah, man, very exciting. She's doing awesome. Nice. She may make an appearance here at some point, but she has some really cool Stranger Things outfits that you bought her. So thank you. They're a little too big for her, we think, but she's growing into them soon. Much appreciated. So thank you. And can't wait for her to wear her little Stranger Things outfits when we're watching the show. Maybe we'll do a rewatch soon and she can wear them.
There you go. That's what I did. Kennedy, like, you know, my daughter, for everyone out there now, she's, you know, going to be six soon. It's crazy. When season three came out, she was a baby still. And she was still waking up at the random hours of the night. Right. So like she woke up and it was July 4th morning. And I was like, don't worry. I got her. Took her downstairs. Hopped on Netflix at 3 a.m. Stranger Things season three. Started it right away. And she was right there, just passed out. It was awesome.
So this guy, dad of the year, come on. Got Kennedy on Stranger Things right away.
Immediately. She wasn't even a year old yet. I was like, yep, we got to get it started. Got to get it going. So it's been a long time. I mean, we're getting some stuff. They're starting to shoot. Seeing more and more things. There's casting calls out there. If you guys have not seen that yet, the opportunity to be body doubles, extras, all this stuff for season five. We've posted a little bit of that on our socials. So, I mean, it's really cool. Obviously, you know, you do have to be in the Atlanta area, but that kind of ties into today's episode because for a while, you know, we had Grant on the podcast a while ago and it was a really fun conversation. He was awesome. But we really wanted to talk to extras, people that are background talent, people that are really like on set for endless hours during the day in all kinds of conditions and things like that. So we had the opportunity today to talk to Alex Zelenka, who was super awesome, gave us a really cool story about his experience on the set of Stranger Things season three. It was a really fun conversation and we're really excited to bring that to you. So that's going to be today's episode.
Yeah. And the best part about it, Damien, was that Alex literally broke it down and told you exactly how you can get on Stranger Things. He told you what to write when you email the casting directors. He told you exactly what website to go to and how he went about it. And he gave some great advice for any of our listeners out there who want to apply to be extras in Stranger Things 5. So thank you so much, Alex. We're really excited to have this interview to share.
Well, without further ado, here is our interview with Alex Zelenka. We are here today with a very special guest, someone that we're really excited to talk to, Alex Zelenka. Alex, thank you so much, first of all, for just taking some time to chat with us as big Stranger Things fans. We saw a lot of your posts and things like that. And as an actor and musician, welcome to the show. Tell us and tell everyone out there a little bit about yourself.
Greetings. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet everyone. Thank you for being here with us today. I first met the cast of Stranger Things in 2016 when I was on a music tour with the band Crystal Castles, playing sold-out shows. We did the Fonda, we did the Observatory in Santa Ana. And when I was there, my actor friends, the Daves, they invited me to a Netflix party. I was like, hell yeah, I want to go check it out. So we got all suited up, and it was an awesome party. I mean, there was amazing stars. David Spade was there, Alan Covert. And I first met Joe Curie. He was super cool. Steve,
yep,
from the show.
Sure.
He mentioned he was going to start his own kind of band thing. I was like, cool, man. I was like, if you ever need remixes, you know, gave him my card. He was super cool. Super excited to meet us. And then later the night, just walking around, I seen Millie, this little kid walking around this like adult, you know, cocktail party. I caught me off guard because I was already a fan of the show. And I was like, hey, I was not shy at all. I was totally went up to her and introduced myself. I was like, hey, I'm here with this band. And she immediately knew who the band was. She's like, what? Really? She's like, that's so cool. She's like, no, that's so cool. I was like, nice to meet you. Like, she gave me a big hug and we took some photos. She was so sweet. It was like really, really cool to meet her. Like when she was still really little,
right?
You know,
that was early. Right. I mean, that was
yeah. Early. So it was just after the first season was really successful, and the band released their new album with a new singer. It was great. It was such a great time. and then later on, like the next year, 2017, I met them at another party. At the Sunset Tower, but this party was way more insane. This was like, I can't remember what the award was for, but all the stars were there. Like I met Rami Malek, I met Mazzy Williams, I met Bryan Cranston, John Lithgow. I'm sorry to name drop, but it was insane. Wow. It was just like, everyone was so cool. And it was just like such a great party.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then like years went by. I did Shameless. I did Sense8. I did Mr. Robot, and all while still doing DJ gigs, touring around, playing shows. It was crazy. It was fun. It was stressful, but I was super grateful to be doing all these opportunities. And then again, that same year in June, I attended a Stranger Things like table reading where they were just like talking about the show and really trying to gain new fans. But it was just like a lead up for the second season. So that was cool. Fast forward to 2018, November, I finally got booked to work on the show. It was super cool. It was totally random. I mean, I was applying for all these different acting gigs, and it was finally like a perfect fit. And it was for the season 3 finale episode. When Winona Ryder was there, Sadie Sink was there, all the little kids were there. It was insane, dude. I was just like, whoa. And I was dressed like one of the soldiers. I mean, I don't want to give too much information if somebody hasn't seen the episode, but it was super emotional episode. And it was great. It was really cool to work on the show.
That's amazing, Alex. I mean, you've met more Stranger Things cast members than probably 99% of Stranger Things fans that are out there. And you were actually in the show. So, I mean, you talked about meeting Millie and meeting Joe Curie. Was there anybody else that you met? I think you told me you met David Harbour at one point.
Yeah, I was going to say David was so cool. And as I got to know more about the guy, I was like, man, this guy's my hero. This guy's dating Lily Allen. If you guys don't know who that is, like, dude, holy man, amazing.
Now they're married, right?
Yeah, and their house is incredible. If you can go online and see it, it's amazing. Like, he's my hero right now.
he's just so awesome. He just seems like the kind of guy that's like, for as big as a star as he is, like, he would just be totally cool in a dive bar having a beer with somebody and treat you like you're a perfectly normal person. Like,
for sure. But not only that, like, he's a giant dude. Like, he's huge. He's huge. I was like, I'm usually the tallest guy in the room most of the time.
Yeah.
Because I'm like 6'1", but he was huge. And I was like, cool. Yeah, he was cool. He was really cool.
He really has that like big presence on the show. Like, some, you know, he's kind of towering over, especially next to the
wherever
kid.
He goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's definitely on top of his game. I was super excited to work with him, and he was super, super polite and nice. And we had like a 5-minute conversation.
Cool.
Yeah, he was really cool.
It's awesome. So prior to, like, you know, the like parties and being on the actual show, like, you were familiar with the show previously before meeting the stars? Like,
sure.
Yeah.
The first season really captured me with the music, and like, I mean, the show was cool, and the fact that it had like some kind of history with this whole Montauk Project thing, I was like, wow, this is cool. Like, I thought it was a great idea. And to give like this, it was kind of like surprising to see children in those really adult situations. It was great. It was a new look on, it was a new spin on horror, which was awesome. I was totally into that.
I remember when I first saw him, like, four kids, I'm like, all right, it's going to be like Stand By Me. And then like, you watch it and you're like, this is like way more horror than I thought it was going to be. And like, these are like life or death situations, conspiracies, cover up, all this crazy stuff that these kids are getting themselves involved in. And like, this, in some cases, the kids are more adult than the adults on the show, and just from the experiences that they've been through. And I just remember the first season completely blew my mind. It was just so awesome. And it just keeps getting better.
I'm pretty positive they didn't plan for it to get as far as it got. Like, they kind of rewrote the story and changed the narrative a little bit, but somehow made it all tie together in this really like intense way. So it's crazy to see where it's going. And, you know, I'm glad it's going to end with this final season so that they can take on their own projects and do something new.
Yeah, because they're all getting, I mean, they're all massively popular. They've been for years, but now it's kind of at the point where, like, I see, like, you know, Caleb McLaughlin's doing his own thing. Everyone's, Millie's doing, the damsel.
They're, like, grown now, you know? Yeah. They're not little kids.
Yeah.
They're not little kids anymore. So it's definitely time for them to do the next thing, you know?
Yeah.
For sure. I'm excited to see what they're going to do.
They're all good. I mean, they're going to be around for a long time. They're all excellent actors and actresses. Like, they're very, very good.
100%. And Alex, you mentioned the music of the show that really kind of captured your interest in that first season. I know the same with me. I think just watching that opening intro with the outline of the Stranger Things text and the amazing theme song, maybe one of the best theme songs in TV history.
Yeah, the theme song was really good. I really liked that it was really like analog synth based. And it was like, they used a lot of really emotional chords and kind of like went a direction that no other show ever did. That was super cool. I mean, the only thing that was close was like maybe Blade Runner or, you know, that would be my first kind of, Vangelis was really on top of that synth wave kind of sound. So they took it in like this really futuristic dark way and made it their own, which was super cool. I really dug that. Yeah, a lot of people did.
For sure. I know. I mean, you have a lot of the synth music that they have, you know, the scores for the show, which are amazing. And then we've had a lot of other really big music moments throughout the show as well.
Oh, man.
Master of Puppets and The Neverending Story and so many other great 80s hits that are.
Dude, let's not ignore the Kate Bush moment, dude. That was like the biggest moment in the show for me, dude. Like, I was caught up, dude. I was like, I always loved that song.
Mm-hmm.
And like, years ago, I made a cover of that song that I haven't really released, but I really love that song. And for that to like get a whole new take with all this new generation of kids, it was a little overplayed, but still a great song.
100%. It was one of those, I forgot about it for a while. And then when it came on, I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot how good this song is. And like, even to this day, like, it's been through the ringer now. Cause it's been, you know, what, two years for,
totally.
For season. But like, I was at the mall the other day and it was on at the mall, like playing on speaker. So it's still out there, but it's just amazing that like a show can take a song and just make it that much bigger and that much more popular. And like you said, for a whole new generation that has never heard of Kate Bush before, now, like, you know,
I think it's different than that. I think the song just had a good platform and the collective conscious made this song more popular. That's really what it was about, because all of us heard it and felt it together instead of like individually.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. That's such a great point. I know. I don't think I'll ever forget where I was when I watched that scene and just kind of like,
dude, I was so choked up. Yeah.
Would you say, Alex, like, is that maybe one of your top scenes, or do you have any other top scenes from the show that you can think of?
That running up that hill moment, and like, man, I just get choked up thinking about it. Like being connected with your friends, and like, yeah, it was nuts. It was good.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think once you saw the flashes of her moments with her friends, you know, and it was kind of pulling her out of that.
Just tugging at the heartstrings.
Exactly. 1,000%.
It was good. It was good. They knew what they were doing with that one.
Yeah. They didn't humble it at all. That was like a home run. Grand slam.
That was
definitely
good.
So like with the the casting process, so you said you were just like applying for different all kinds of acting jobs. Like, how did this one come together for you? Because like, they film in Georgia, so like,
it was in Atlanta. Yeah, I never had a booking agent or any agent whatsoever for any of these acting gigs that I did. I always kind of pursued the ones that I was super passionate about, the ones that I believed in, the ones that I thought I'd be a good fit for. And most of these castings are out for the public, for anybody to submit, because they want to have the best fit for these. And most of the time, they want it to be like, you're in the state we're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, sometimes I would just be like, yeah, I live in Atlanta. and it would be because of some tax break or some, like, they would only hire local because they get a break on their taxes because that's what the state wants or whatever. But there was a few times where it bit me on the ass. Like, sorry. Going to do a Better Call Saul. They called me back 3 times.
Wow.
And because I wasn't Albuquerque local, they were like, sorry, but they thought I was a good fit for it. I was like, so bummed. Cause I would love to be part of the Breaking Bad universe. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Oh, it was insane.
Me too.
Yeah, I was super bummed.
If I could be on Stranger Things, that'd be number one. If I could have been on Breaking Bad universe, that would have been right behind it, I think.
I mean, what state are you local?
We're both in Pennsylvania. So we're a little bit of...
I mean, you're not far, right, from Atlanta?
It's like an hour flight, I think. Maybe hour and a half if we were to do that.
They actually sent me another casting opportunity for this final season, but I said I wasn't going to do it.
You filmed for season 3 finale down in Atlanta. And so how did you actually go about that process? Was it tailor-made casting that you...
Yeah, I went through their people directly, and I flew myself out there because I believed in the project enough that I wanted to do it. And man, it was rough. They had us film like from, I think it was like 7 p.m. until like 4 in the morning. And it was like, it was a cold night, and we were running around outside with giant guns, you know, for the characters, and we're all in like tactical army gear. It was cold. I'll never forget. It was one of the hardest nights because it was cold and like raining on us, but everyone was out there and nobody was complaining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah. I saw the one picture you had shared was like, so you were at like outside at like the, where they shot the Starcourt Mall stuff.
Yeah, that's where the whole final scene is. I mean, I don't want to give too much away, like I said, but the end scene for the finale episode, where they come in, you'll see helicopters and a bunch of army dudes. I mean, there's no direct shot of my face, but you could see all of us like going back and forth, running around out there, you know.
That's, it was nuts. So cool.
Still awesome.
It was pretty cool.
you got, you have the proof, you have the photograph. So if everyone's like, I don't believe you, well, here it is. Like, take a look at these.
Yeah. Tangible proof does help.
Yeah, it definitely does help. So like, this is always something I always wondered, like being on a show, like TV or movie set, did you get to take anything home with you? Like, if I was in a movie or on a show, I would want something for sure.
Actually, I did. Button. I did. Hold on.
I'll go. Okay. Yes. Oh, yeah. We got to check this out.
Yes.
I was like, I'm taking this.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That's awesome. That is
sweet. I was like, they can let this go.
That is like officially straight from the set of the Battle of Star Court. Amazing.
I played some DJ gigs wearing it too.
That's even cooler. They're not going to miss that hat. You know,
nah, like, dude, this is all like Salvation Army purchases. Like, they can let it go.
Yeah. That's so cool. So were you,
I had to keep that one,
just outside of the mall, or did you film anything inside the mall too?
Well, we got to hang out in the mall for like, cause it was coming down for a little while and like, they just couldn't film at certain points. So we were all just in the same area together hanging out, and it would be like, they would kind of try to separate us from like, you know, Winona and the kids and whatever, but they were just hanging out. Everyone was being really cool. Nobody was being weird. So everyone was just being really friendly.
What was this? Yeah, it was like in there? It just looks like, I mean,
it's a mall. It's a real mall.
It's so cool. Just,
yeah, it's a total real mall. And it, like, I didn't know exactly where the set was when I was trying to go to film this shoot. And like, they kind of give you like an idea of where it's going to be. So like, you kind of have to look around a little bit, like, cause I'm not from Atlanta, so I didn't know. And then when I got there, I was like, I started seeing the tents and I was like, oh shit. And then when I saw, you know, the Star Court, I was like, oh, you know, like, like I'm in that world now. You're, you know, I mean, like, you entered the realm of this amazing show. So you're just like, you just like kind of go into it in your mind, you know, like you go with it.
That's amazing.
So cool.
Yeah. I always immerse myself in these things.
Yeah. 100%. I would too.
That's a great way to do it. You know, like, especially when you're acting, you know, in a popular show, just fully immerse yourself, just jump right in.
Truly believe in it.
Yeah. 100%. I was wondering, like, when you went inside, did you get to see like any of the like 1980s, like mock-ups that they had, all the, okay, like the Orange Julius and Scoops Ahoy and all that stuff?
Yeah, I saw all this. I mean, I saw it all, but it didn't mean anything, you know, at the time, because, you know, the season, it wasn't released. So I'm just like looking around like, wow, this looks cool. And it's just like tailored to look like, you know, a timepiece. So I was like, wow. But it didn't make any sense to me at the time, because, you know, the season wasn't released and none of it made it, you know, none of it made it into the show until after.
That's true. It's just so great. I wish they would keep that open. Like, I just feel like they would make so much money off of doing like Stranger Things tours. Like, I
they know that do that. They do they did Stranger Thing pop-ups in Chicago and LA, all over the place to promote the show. And it was like cool little events where there'd be like little sets. Like, I got photos of that too. I'll send you those. But there was like set photos where you can go and sit in the sets or ride on the bikes. It was totally cool. They were totally trying to like hook up the fans with like a Stranger Things experience.
It's pretty cool. They've been doing it more and more as the show just keeps getting bigger and bigger. They definitely are doing more to like give the experience to fans. Cause like, you know, you see that and it's like you said, not everyone could make it to Atlanta. Maybe some people might be lucky enough to be cast in there, but like the majority of us, that's never going to happen. So, you know, bringing experiences and stuff like that, just to kind of give you a taste of what the world is like, is just really, really cool. And I hope they keep doing it, especially after season 5, we have a little bit of time before then. Like, I would just like to see so much more.
I just hope it ends. I hope it ends well, because it started really well and it's carried itself all this way. And like, now they're saying 2025. So it's just like, I hope we make it.
Yeah. I was like, we just not have, you know, a global pandemic and multiple years in between seasons of these shows. Can you just like film it faster?
Strikes and everything.
When you were on set, like, did you see the Duffers at all? Did they like?
If I did, you know what? I seen them in person, when they did the table read years before. And if they were on set, I don't know, because again, you know, Sweet Mary Jane.
how many of you guys were out there at the same time? Like, it's gotta be like chaotic.
I mean, I was more attracted to, like, you know, like Winona Ryder, just because it was just like, you know, ever since I was a little kid, you know, Beetlejuice and you know, all the movies that she's done, you know, I was a huge influence on, you know, punk rock and just being like a reckless teenager, you know? So I was totally like blown away that she was even there. So I was just like, I was just kind of like, whoa.
It's crazy, man. Like,
that I had no idea what we were even doing. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I just thought it was just a normal episode. They didn't tell us anything. Like, I just figured this out, you know, after the deduction of watching the show.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, it's, that's, I guess,
interesting.
Tell you too. Yeah, they don't tell us anything.
Yeah. Because they just don't, you know,
all they just tell, give us directions. And that's it. And yeah, they do a good job. It wasn't, the thing that was really cool was, it wasn't like we needed to do a whole bunch of takes. They were very fluid. They knew what they were trying to get. Yep. And yeah, if everyone wasn't on the same page, there was tension. So everyone had to be like on the same page and in sync and follow instructions, or they were moved off the set. You know, they were professionals and they knew what they were doing and they did not play around.
No nonsense then. Yeah, I mean, especially like you said, if it's like pouring rain out, like nobody wants to be out there all night. Like,
drizzling and then it was pouring and then it was drizzling. It was just like, it was like the perfect kind of weather for this really emotional scene, which made it even more cool. It was like helicopters flying around. It was great. They did a great job. And I was truly like, I was like, wow, after I saw what they did with what we worked on. It was cool. It was a lot of fun.
The rain really did add to it. Like, I remember you see Dr. Owens getting out of the helicopter. I think he's kind of like shielding himself from the rain and like.
Totally. And it was all real. That was all real rain. They did an incredible shot with the lights, the big lights flowing through the sky. It was nuts, dude. It was so nuts. And they did it so fluidly where we were only out there for like the hours that they needed to do everything that they did. It was like, it was storyboarded, planned, how they were going to do everything that they did. It was very smooth.
Awesome.
The only other time I've seen directors work that smooth was on Sense8. And I don't know if you know that show, the Wachowskis, who did The Matrix and a bunch of other amazing. This show is so ahead of its time. I would totally recommend it to anybody. I worked on the season 2, first episode, amazing show. Every single scene, it was like, no, it was one take, bam. It was just like, whoa. And they were so perfect.
It's professional.
Yeah, it was really cool to work with people like that.
So cool.
Yeah, it's such a nice process. Like, I wonder, Alex, was there anything, like, it went very smooth and I know it was raining, but was there anything that went wrong that, like, throughout the process while you guys were filming? Anything you didn't expect?
So there was a moment. There was a few moments where Winona was doing her scene and people were like kind of staring and she didn't like that. And she was like, you know, make them go away. And really? It, you know, like, yeah, she was very vocal about it. You know, like, I'm not trying to like badmouth or anything. She, you know, she was trying to do her thing and there was like people who were starstruck, you know, just cause she was there. And right. Like, I totally get it, but it's like, you know, it's a job.
Yeah.
And, you know, she wanted her to be able to do her thing without feeling like all eyes on me.
Right.
Cause I, you know, I get that totally.
In like the context of the show, like none, like if you were all in that world, nobody would really know who she is. Maybe a couple people would know who she is, you know, like she's just working at the local, you know, general store, like mom, she's a legend. Nothing crazy, but obviously like in real life, it's Winona Ryder, but like, it is, I guess it's got to be hard for some people to like take yourself out of that and be like, okay, I got to remember, like you said, this is a job. I'm actually getting paid to be here. I should probably like, you know, not like get all excited and stuff.
Well, a lot of times people who don't normally do this gig are doing these gigs sometimes. And you can tell that like they get wrapped up in the moment and they kind of just like watch it like they're watching the show, but it's like live,
right?
Instead of like being a part of it and being in character and just like, you know, being, I think there's some that happens sometimes. I noticed that happening a few times when I've done acting gigs where people are just like in the moment, not being the, you know, part of the scene and just kind of like absorbing what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. My friend did like he did stuff with like they shot an Adam Sandler movie in Pennsylvania, like Philadelphia, and he went down there and was in it, and like he was just like so obsessed with trying to get a picture with him. I'm like, it's not the reason why you're there. Like, you gotta
be cool
about it. But
yeah, he doesn't like that. I know that about Adam Sandler. He doesn't like that. I'm actually a big fan of Adam Sandler. I'm in Minneapolis right now visiting family, and his tour came through here. So I brought my family to go see the tour, and it was funny. It was cool to see the show. It was in a huge arena.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
All the seats were filled. It was insane. Yeah. It was just like this. It wasn't like a arena tour though. Right. You know what I mean? Like, it felt more like, and not to rip on him, it was like a kid's birthday party. You know what I mean? Like, his songs were great. I wish he would have sang one of his most saddest popular songs that he didn't sing. But he did sing a lot of his hits, and I thought it was really cool. He played guitar, was telling jokes. It was just kind of like, it felt like it should have been a rock concert, but it wasn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I love Adam Sandler.
Arena, like, you have that vibe of it. He's awesome. But yeah, it's like,
seriously,
it's so cool, man. It's incredible. Nothing for season 5 though. Like, you're not going to make the trip down to Atlanta.
Oh man, they sent the email casting, and I didn't even respond to it. I was like, yeah. No,
hard. I mean, like, you know, because how many days did you end up shooting while you were down there in total?
It was hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. I flew in. It was great. I flew in, did the hours, got paid for the whole day, and then hopped on a flight. It's same night, same day. I was super excited. Same morning, like an hour later, I was super excited to be in and out of there. Like, it's a gamble, you know what I'm saying? And like, if you don't show up on time at these acting gigs, they'll be like, no, go home. Like, sometimes they'll be like that. You know, one time I had to fly. One time I did a Marvel movie. I did Captain America Civil War, which for me is my favorite, not because I worked on it, but is definitely one of my favorites because that's where they introduced Tom Holland as Spider-Man.
Yep.
Anyway, I flew to Las Vegas for a birthday party. And in the middle of that trip, they hit me up and they're like, yeah, we want you to be part of this, the funeral scene for Agent Carter. And I was like, hell yeah, I'm coming. So I flew from Vegas to Atlanta and I shot the scene for like 5 hours and then flew back from Atlanta back to Las Vegas. So I quite literally was Captain America.
No doubt.
Yeah, so it was cool. It was a cool scene and one of my favorite movies. I've read the comic books as a kid, so it was super like,
that's a cool full
circle. Big deal for me to work on that show that film. And that film gig got me so many other gigs, including the Stranger Things gig.
That's cool.
Yeah. Notoriety.
I mean, hey, if you're professional and you do well, you know, like, people are going to hear that and they're going to want to work with you because you know what you're doing. You're not going to like goof stuff up. You're not going to be an annoyance on set. Like, that's awesome. I was just like, man, he was in Stranger Things and now you're telling me, oh yeah, I was a Mr. Robot, I was in Marvel. I'm like, this guy's doing everything.
I mean, it was a long time ago, and I went really hard for a really long time, and I put all my focus and all my attention and my passion projects and sacrifice everything else. So the trick to getting good castings or to get casted at all is when you reach out to these casting in emails to make it real short, real concise, you know, your availability, your best, most professional headshots you can get. I mean, it's not hard to get really good ones and they're not that expensive, you know, and to keep up with them regularly and to have all your information all within this really short, concise email. You know, the smaller, the shorter, the better. Because they're not trying to read your life story, and they're not trying to, like, you know, have you audition to walk around in the background.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
there's a lot of availability to work on all kinds of films and TV shows. You just have to be confident and believe in yourself enough that you are the man for the job. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest part about it. People are like, no, I can't do that. Da 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 da. Talk myself out of it. Blah. You know, like, you can talk yourself into or out of anything.
Yep. 100%.
That is a great point.
All about mindset. And like, yeah, if you keep telling yourself I can do it, you're fine. You're going to do it. Just don't doubt yourself. Don't let any kind of doubt creep in your head. Just do it. And especially,
sure, it's part of manifestation. If you believe it, then it's your reality. If you don't believe it, it's still your reality.
Mm-hmm.
These are great words of wisdom, Alex. I love it. I think all of our listeners, we're going to try to, you know, promote this as, if they listen, they'll get a good sense of how they can maybe be an extra in Stranger Things. I mean, this is awesome advice for all of them. I know we're kind of winding down, but I just wanted to ask, like, what was your favorite moment or like a top moment from being on the set of Stranger Things?
When I stole that hat, I was like, yeah. I mean, it was super cool to see Winona Ryder. It took my breath away when I saw all of the kids and Sadie Sink. And I didn't really know, like, it didn't really make much sense because these new characters weren't introduced until after the fact. So like, thinking back upon it and then like bringing it to like reality, I was like, wow, they were right there. And I love them. They're incredible, super talents. And to see how they've grown and evolved into these insane talents, I'm like, wow, they really knew who was going to be a good choice for these and who's going to have a future.
No doubt.
For everyone like listening, you know, obviously you're a musician as well, and it sounds like that's kind of like more at the front of things now. So where, if people want to check you out, like, how can they find you? Where can they find you to give you a listen or a follow?
I have a Bandcamp account, which is just my name.bandcamp. And then I release a lot of songs that are not really mine, like remixes and covers, on a YouTube channel, which is also just my name. So yeah, those are pretty much the two platforms I try to lean more toward. But you can find my music wherever music is sold. I mean, on vinyl and you know, Spotify, obviously. I just don't push those other platforms because they don't really care about musicians.
I gotcha. Yeah, YouTube's like, you know, I think YouTube is the one thing I can go on and just like go down a rabbit hole of like finding new artists. And so you would never make that, but like, it's so much easier to find new artists and new music on there than like a Spotify for me. Cause I think Spotify, once I listen to something certain, it's like, oh, you probably like these exact same songs. And I'm like, I've already listened to those songs. Like, I want to find new stuff. So YouTube, Bandcamp, very cool. We'll definitely make sure like we put links and stuff in, you know, wherever we post. And then,
thank you.
Awesome. That's awesome, man. I mean, thank you so much for just taking some time to talk about the whole experience. I'm so happy you have something from the set. Like, I was like, I got to ask him if he got something, because I know I would try and find something. Like, you know, I would just love it. And you got a hat, like, and you can wear it while you're DJing. Like, that's so cool. And it's just a cool story. Like, for somebody who's not a fan, you'll be like, oh, camo hat, whatever. But like, you tell a Stranger Things fan, like, hey, this is from the set, they're probably going to know the exact episode or like the exact scenario or situation where they saw that hat from. And it's just awesome. So, I mean, thank you so much, man, for taking time out and chatting with us. Like, we always try and talk to like people who have been on the show, just like what everyone's experience is. Cause like, you were out in the rain going through it. Like, someone might've been there on a perfectly fine sunny day where there's nothing wrong whatsoever. And you're around like all the main cast. Like, some other people might not be around the main cast. It might just be walking around downtown, stuff like that. So it's always cool to get a lot of people's experiences and things like that. But we really appreciate you taking some time and like talking to us about it, because it just sounds so awesome. Just that whole world, like,
appreciate hard you having me, man.
But rewarding work for sure. I mean, you know, you could watch that show at any time, and like you said, like, you know, you don't see your face, but you were there, and you got. you have the tangible proof. You get the photographs and everything else, brushing elbows with everybody at the Netflix party. So it's awesome. It's so, so cool. Really cool story.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me on your show. I appreciate you guys. And I'm look forward to seeing more of what you guys are going to do next.
Thank you so much, Alex. Really appreciate it. You're a man of many talents and you have a lot of connections to Stranger Things. So I really appreciate you sharing everything with us.
For sure, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys. So that was our interview with Alex Delenka. And as he mentioned, if you are interested in checking out his music, he does all kinds of stuff. You can check him out on his YouTube channel, which will be his name, Alex Delenka, as well as Bandcamp. I believe he's also on Apple Music. We're going to link this podcast to that as well. So if you're listening to us, you'll be able to find him through there. And yeah, pretty cool stuff. Really exciting interview, really neat interview. Because it's just cool to kind of go, you know, behind the curtain and see what the production's like and what things are like on set and how chaotic it can be and what you have to do to adjust. Like he said, it was drizzling, then it's pouring rain and they put everybody in the mall set. And like at the time, like us now, we're like, oh my gosh, I would be like at Orange Julius and like Walden Books. And like you start thinking about all the stores that like, you know, they built for the show. But like where he was at that moment, he didn't know what any of that meant. He's just like, oh, cool. Like they've, you know, it's the 80s. So they built this mall neat. Like it's so crazy, but really, really cool. He was very awesome to talk to. We're very thankful for him taking some time out of his day to chat with us and definitely check him out. And don't forget to check us out next time when we go into the Upside Down.
See you, nerds.